Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi jana vallabha girivara dhari Gopi jana vallabha girivara dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tera Vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Haradari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Haradari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tera Vanachari Yamuna Tera Vanachari Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Govinda Ashtashaka Vrinda Ki Nitai Gaur Premanandi Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 16. Jaya and Vijaya, cursed by the sages. Text 5. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yannamani Chagrunati Loko Bhriti Kritagasi So Sadhu Vadas Tatkirtim Hanti Tvacham Ivamaya Yannamami Chagrinati Loko Bhriti Kritagasi So Sadhu Vadas Tatkirtim Hanti Tvacham Ivamaya Matajis, anybody? Mansurid, Matajis. Okay. Yat Obhum Namani, the names. Cha and Grinati, take. Lokaha, people in general. Britye, when a servant. Kritagasi, has committed something wrong. Saham, that. Asadhu, asadhuvada, blame. Tat, of that person. Kirtim, the reputation. Hanti, destroys. Twacham, the skin. Eva, amayaha, leprosy. Translation. So here, I mean, just to give you a little context, this is the chapter entitled Jaya and Vijaya, Cursed by the Sages. As you know, the four Kumaras reached the gates of Vaikuntha. They wanted to see the Lord's lotus feet. But Jaya Vijaya stopped them. And the Kumaras became very angry and cursed the sages, cursed the gatekeepers. And then the Lord Narayan walks to the gate and he apologizes with the sages. He actually says, oh, my servants have done an offense, so it's like it's my responsibility. And he explains this concept in the verse we are studying today. So this is Lord Narayan himself speaking. A wrong act committed by a servant leads people in general to blame his master. Just as a spot of white leprosy on any part of the body pollutes all of the skin. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A Vaishnava, therefore, should be fully qualified. As stated in the Bhagavatam, anyone who has become a Vaishnava has developed all the good qualities of the demigods. There are 26 qualifications mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The devotee should always see that his Vaishnava qualities increase with the advancement of his Krishna consciousness. A devotee should be blameless because any offense by the devotee is a scar on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The devotee's duty is to be always conscious of his dealings with others, especially with another devotee of the Lord. Om Agyanati Virandasya Agnanjana Saraga Shakshara Minlita Meena Tasmai Shri Guri Namana Noi Shabdha Krishna Shabdha 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 Swami Noi Shabdha Devi Guru Kata Namadana Vithari Namo Mir Shabdha Krishna Shabdha Shabdha Bhakti Vidanta Swami Niti Namini Namasti Saswati Devi Guru Vani Pishari Nivshishya Swami Pashatya Deshadari Vanshakalpadrubhisya Kripa Sindhu Ivacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha. Srila Prabhupada explains, devotee should be fully qualified. Otherwise, his mistakes will give a bad name to Krishna. It happened already, even in recent history. After Lord Chaitanya has left, many people, in the name of Lord Chaitanya and his teachings, deviated in many ways, philosophically, morally, socially, and there were so many apa sampradaya, means lineages which were not really bona fide. Apa actually was against the sampradayas. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote even a book, the 13 Appa Sampradaya. And of course there are many subdivisions. So obviously they gave Vaishnavism a very bad name. In Bengal, 19th century, if you say Vaishnav, no respectful man will want something to do. In general, of course, there were exceptions. But Vaishnav had a very bad reputation because of these people who are doing all sorts of nonsenses. Even nowadays, sometimes you go to the train from Calcutta to Navadvip or Krishnanagar and you see some beggars, blind men, I don't know if they're really blind or whatever, some people coming and chanting Hare Krishna on the train. Nothing wrong with chanting Hare Krishna on the train, but they give the impression that Vaishnavism is for beggars. They're just begging. It's a way of somehow get some money like that. So for us, especially for us, we're part of an institution, this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Whatever we do represents the society. If we do something, people will blame ISKCON, will not blame us. They don't know even our name. But if we do something bad, ISKCON is getting blamed. And Srila Prabhupada is getting blamed. And Krishna himself is getting blamed. Like Srila Prabhupada says here, a devotee should be blameless because any offense by the devotee is a scar on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like, say, when you fly on some airline, you do not interact with the owner of the airline or with the CEO. Actually, not even with the pilot. You go, you interact with the staff at the check-in, and you interact with the flight attendants. So whatever they do, that's the image of the whole company. If the check-in personnel is not nice, you have a bad impression of the whole company. If the stewardess, flight attendant is not nice, is not dressed properly, or she's rude, you get a bad impression of the whole airline. Similarly, people in this world, when the devotees, if the devotees misbehave, or somebody in the guise of a devotee misbehaves, the whole parampara, the whole spiritual world gets the bad name. So this is very bad. Therefore, as a conclusion which he puts at the very beginning of the purport, Srila Prabhupada said, a Vaishnava therefore should be fully qualified. Some of you have heard about this Peter Burwash was a professional tennis player from Canada. He met Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada instructed him in many ways, not only in direct Krishna consciousness, he also explained him how to have a business, a successful business. So this gentleman, Peter Burwash, which is still a devotee, he never got initiated, but he's a devotee, practicing devotee and everything. He comes to festivals and things. He explained, in my company, what his company is he provides tennis coaches, tennis trainers to different hotels and resorts. People like to posh hotels and they like to learn to play tennis. So his business is to provide these trainers. And he's one of the most successful business, actually is the most successful business in his field. And he's very strict on principles. And one principle he was explaining in his company, he does not allow anyone to interact with a customer unless the person goes through, I don't remember exactly, but I think it was 250 hours of training. Something like that. It could be 235, but 250 hours of training before a staff is allowed to interact with anybody. Just by saying, good morning. No, you have to have 250 hours of training. Because he is the face of the organization. Whatever he does, or he doesn't do, or he does wrongly, it reflects on the organization. You may say, no, but he's only some assistant. No, but he is the face of the organization. People don't interact with Peter Berwash. People don't interact with their his managers. People interact with the person, like that. And therefore, like in Bengali, there is a saying, Yato gur tato mishti. More you put gur, jagri, and more the thing becomes sweet. If you don't put any jagri, any sweet or any sugar, it will not become sweet. This is a basic thing. So similarly, more there is training, education in the different aspects of devotional service, more the quality of our interactions, the quality of our performance, in other words, the quality of our devotional service and our capacity to represent the Sampradaya will improve and will increase. Otherwise, we are in a very big danger. We are very in a big danger. Sometimes we see that, especially in South India, there are some Brahmanas who manage a temple by tradition, by family. And sometimes they have different children, different sons. And I hear, say there are 3-4 sons. What they do? The best sons, the smartest son, they send to college to become an engineer. If one of the sons is a little slow, then he becomes pujari. Is it right? I heard, yeah? That's the tradition. The most foolish son, less brilliant, he can deal with the Lord face to face. He can bathe the Lord. He can represent the Lord. He can maybe speak on behalf of the Lord. He can learn the Vedas and speak the mantras because he's not qualified. If somebody is smart, he goes and becomes a technologist to work for some demoniac corporation in America. That's the type of mentality that we face nowadays. So, it's encouraging when we see initiatives like ISKCON Leeds, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Leadership, Education, and Development System. Because this not only gives a chance for the devotees to be exposed to different aspects of management, leadership, principles, values, ideas, but it also builds a camaraderie among the future leaders and builds a sense of common mission. We may be from different parts of India. I mean, I'm not even from India, but I'm not a student of ISKCON Leeds. I applied, but they rejected me. So we may be from different parts of India, speak different languages, come from different temples, be initiated by different spiritual masters, but when we are together, we imbibe a common vision. We help each other in strengthening our determination, like that. So this chapter reveals how a leader takes responsibility. Narayana is the supreme leader. Krishna, we know, is more than Narayan, but Krishna doesn't really take an official leadership position. I mean, even in Dwaraka, he is not the king, he's a prince. In Vrindavan, he's the son of the king. So, Krishna, of course, is Adipurusha, is Ishvara, Parama, Krishna, but he doesn't really officially like becomes the king generally. Okay? He's moon. He's in the moon dynasty. So he attracts people. The moon attracts people. Ramachandra is sun. Sun means authority. It's a different mood. They're the same, but it's a different mood. So Narayana is the king. When Narayana comes in front of the sages, is obviously is the not only the boss, but is the owner, is the absolute truth in person. So these sages wanted to see the lotus feet of the Lord, and he fulfills their desire. Not only he shows the lotus feet, but he shows the lotus feet in action. At the same time, please notice, he supports and maintains the decision of the Jaya and Vijaya. He does not let the Kumara in. He's very nice with them. He tells them, sorry, my servants have done an offense. Brahmanas are so dear to me. You are self-realized. Even if my arm will do something wrong against you, I will cut my arm off. He says these things in this section. And he apologizes, which is a sign of strength. Often, somebody who is kind of weak, uncertain, insecure, for them it's very difficult to apologize. It's very difficult to show responsibility. Okay, I'm responsible. Maybe not directly, but I'm responsible. This is also sometimes in the political sphere. Sometimes there is, in the past, there is, say, I remember years ago, there was an accident, railway accident in Kerala, and some people died. A train ended up in a river, some people died. So the Minister of Railways, he resigned. You may ask, what has to do the Minister of Railways sitting in Delhi, one train derailing on a bridge in Kerala, what he has to do? He wasn't driving, he wasn't collecting tickets. You want some meeting in Delhi, but no, I am responsible. It is my department. If something goes wrong, I resign. And that's considered a honorable thing to do. But people who don't have that honor, who don't have the strength, moral strength, character strength, always find excuses. It's not my fault, I wasn't there. And this gives a message. And I hear from Srila Prabhupada's disciples that Srila Prabhupada made he had this style that if a devotee was blamed by Srila Prabhupada, say, what happened here? Why is this like this? If the devotee would defend himself, actually it was not like this, Srila Prabhupada would continue, drill him, hammer down until they had to surrender. But if he actually admitted, yes, my fault, sorry, then Srila Prabhupada said, that's okay. There was a story, Trivikram Maharaj, some of you know Trivikram Maharaj, he was preaching in Japan. But then he felt, I want to go and see Srila Prabhupada. Maybe he felt alone in Japan. And Srila Prabhupada was in Calcutta. So Trivikram Maharaj decided, I want to see Srila Prabhupada. So he went to Calcutta. And for the whole trip on the airplane, he was thinking, what excuse should I give to Srila Prabhupada that I left Japan to come to Calcutta and see him? Because, you know, I have a duty, I have a service, now I just take a trip. Jai Shri Shri Radha Govind. So he was really racking his brain. What should I say? What should I say? What excuse? What reason? At the end of the trip, he went in front of Srila Prabhupada, paid obeisances. Srila Prabhupada saw, oh, you're here in Calcutta. And Trivikram Maharaj said, Srila Prabhupada, I have no excuse. I have no reason. I just came because I wanted to see you. And Srila Prabhupada said, that's okay, you're a sannyasi, sannyasi should travel. So, it was smooth, like that. So here, the two doorkeepers get cursed, and as you know, they become the demons. And as you also know, Jaya and Vijaya come down in different forms, right? First, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha. Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha. Then, Ravana and Kumbhakarna. Then third, Shishupal and Dantavakra. Okay? But the Gaura Ganodesha Deepika, the book of revelations of the previous identities of Gaura Ganodesha, the associate of Lord Chaitanya, explained that Jaya Vijaya came also as Lord Chaitanya's associates. And some of you know whom they became. Jagaya and Madai. But some of us don't hear very often that the same book, Gaura Ganodesha Deepika, also explains that Jaya and Vijaya come also in Gaura Lila with a different form. Have you heard about that? See, Gaura Ganodesha Deepika, 115, says they become Jagai Madai. But in the same book, text 89, Jagai and Madai, Jai and Vijay becomes Nandini and Jangali. Maybe not very famous, but they are Jai and Vijay. So this all Lila connects with the Gaura Lila, and this Nandini and Jangali, at one point they take initiation. And whom they take initiation from? Whom they accept Diksha Mantra from? They accept Diksha from Sita Thakurani, whom we worship today in her divine appearance day. So, it's all connected. The same Jaya and Vijaya, they come to this world and take initiation in Gaudiya Vaishnavism from Sita Thakurani, who is the wife of Advaita Acharya. So who is this Sita Thakurani? The Gaura Ganodesha Deepika explains that she is Yoga Maya herself. She also has a sister, Sri, who is the Prakash of Yoga Maya. See, this pastimes of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, they are so variegated that there are great personalities sometimes we hardly hear about. But Sita Thakurani we hear about. She was in this Vatsalya Bhav, basically on the same level of Sachi Devi. She was present when Lord Chaitanya was born, and in fact it is Sita Thakurani who gave the name Nimai to Lord Chaitanya. He brought many jewels, many gifts. And she was always in this Vatsalya Ras. Sometimes out of her great attachment, motherly affection, she would even instruct Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi how to take care of Lord Chaitanya. She would say, do this, do that, do this, do that. When Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, Sachi Devi, she was almost leaving her body out of separation, out of pain, discomfort. And for 4 days and four nights, Sita Thakurani stayed with her, consoling her. Then after some time, Lord Chaitanya went to Shantipur. And Sita Thakurani cooked for all the devotees, for Lord Chaitanya. So she was always very close to Lord Chaitanya, and basically is at the same level of Sachi Devi. And plus is the wife of Advaita Acharya, who is Mahavishnu himself. So Mahavishnu Narayana, here's Narayana is talking about Jaya and Vijaya, then Jaya and Vijaya become Gaura Lila Bhaktas, and Yoga Maya initiates them. And there is this thing of women initiating. I did not choose this particular day to speak, but somehow it happens that today is the appearance of one of the ladies Diksha Gurus in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So there are many questions that come to mind. Why these women gurus in Gaudiya Vaishnavism? Maybe, I don't know, but maybe the associates of Lord Chaitanya did not have much culture. And so they had to wait 500 years for people coming from New York, London, to learn some Vaishnava culture. Could that be? Make sense? Make sense. It makes sense. It makes sense. It makes sense that they did not know philosophy. The associates of Lord Chaitanya did not know philosophy. They didn't know Vaishnava etiquette. They didn't know Varnashram. And so they had to wait 500 years for some devotees who come from New York, London, to teach them the proper behavior. No. You don't like this theory? No. Okay. So maybe this is not a good theory. Another theory could be that in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, differently than other traditions in India, it's quite normal for a lady to accept disciples. There are dozens of cases, and we never see any acharya, the Goswamis, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, anybody, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, we don't see any of the acharyas speaking against the principle. We don't hear that. There is no evidence. They knew. I mean, Jiva Goswami met Janava Mata and so on and so forth. And there are many. You know, in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, like explained in Chaitanya Charitam, there are different lineage. It's called, in Bengali they call it parivaras, which means family or lineage, disciple succession. So you have the line of Advaita Acharya, and there are women Diksha Gurus. There's a line of Nityananda Prabhu, and there are women Diksha Gurus. There's the line of Gadadhar Pandit, and There are women Diksha Gurus. So one may be tempted to think, well, this is a tradition of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. That's how we do things. In fact, in the Gadadhara Sampradaya, they even have a particular theory. They say, I'm not saying, but they say that when the mantra is given by woman, the mantra has more power. So they arrange that in their parivara, everybody gets initiated by woman. I'm not suggesting this in ISKCON, but that's their understanding. So then, the other question comes, why, if it is our tradition, why some ISKCON devotees seems to be very against this idea? Why? Throughout the centuries, there are examples. So why some ISKCON devotees in the 21st centuries, they say, no. So there is a theory to explain this social and psychological phenomenon. It's a theory. I cannot prove it. But do you want to hear this theory? It's a theory. I cannot prove it. But the theory is, some devotees, in their previous life, they were smarta brahmanas, very pious, but very entrenched, attached to gender and birth, because smarta brahmanas, they're attached to formalities and externalities. So they were born in the West, and because they were pious in the previous life, because they were Vedic in the previous life, they joined ISKCON. Because it's the most Vedic thing around. When you are in New York, the most Vedic thing is ISKCON. When you are in London, the most Vedic thing is ISKCON. Right? So they joined ISKCON, and they joined the movement of Lord Chaitanya. And they become Gaudiya Vaishnavas. With Gaudiya Vaishnava Tilak, they accept officially the philosophy, but unfortunately they still carry some baggage. Some smarta samskaras. So when the topic comes up, they become very agitated. This is a theory that was developed because otherwise you cannot explain that in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, it has been our tradition since 500 years, the ladies can also give initiation, and some people are so disturbed by the idea. I cannot prove this idea, this theory, but this theory would help in explaining this type of mentality, frankly speaking. Somebody else says, No. They say no 4 times. One is not enough. No. She was Yoga Maya. And Janava Devi was the younger sister of Srimati Radharani, Ananga Manjari. So only for them. Okay. There is an issue there. First of all, again, no acharya in 500 years ever proposed this theory. It's a modern, we could even say it's a Western theory. It's a new theory. It doesn't come from the acharyas. We don't hear that from the acharyas. We don't hear the acharya writing that a woman can become Diksha Guru only if it comes from the spiritual world with her passport stamped, personally signed by Shri Krishna or Narayan in person. They didn't say. So it's a new theory. And also we should be careful, because maybe it's right, maybe it's not right, but if it's not right, we may be making some
some offense. It's a risky thing. Like Jaya and Vijaya, they stopped the sages. They didn't know were sages. They saw children. They saw these naked children. Who are these four children? Will create a mess inside Vaikuntha. Right? They were looking externally, or at least they look what they could look. And in fact, the sages, they started criticizing. Oh, you must be two imposters because you see differently. In Vaikuntha, there should not be duality. You think we are children, so you're not very good. Right? So we need to be careful not to make the same mistake. Thinking, these are children, these are sages, these are women, they cannot. First of all, frankly speaking, we need to understand what diksha means. Right? Diksha, what's the essence of diksha? Is the transmission of spiritual knowledge. Correct? That's the essence of diksha. Giving transcendental knowledge. And that transcendental knowledge can be given by whoever has that knowledge. Like Maharani Kunti, 5,000 years ago, Krishna was living in Hastinapur, and she came there. Many brahmanas, many male gurus were there, Vyasadeva was there, so many sages were there, right? But Maharani Kunti steps forward and he speaks in front of everybody. And after 5,000 years, we are still studying those instructions. Right? It's not that the brahmachari skip the 8th chapter of first canto. Right? So Kunti Devi is teaching. She also was a woman, and she spoke in front of everybody, and we still meditate on each word that she spoke. So transcendental knowledge, because it's transcendental, it does not depend on what kind of body you have. So we should be a little careful. A little careful. At least, let's be in doubt. No, if you're not sure one way or another, say, well, I don't know. Because otherwise the risk is that you may do an offense and maybe you don't born as demons like Jaya and Vijaya, but you may be born as women. Right? I mean, it would make sense from the karmic point of view. If you make an offense to a woman, you become a woman. And I don't think that's really what's your plan, right? I don't think that's the goal in life. I don't think. So, look, I did not choose today because it was Sita Thakurani appearance day, so it was appearance day of a women Diksha Guru. Okay? But it happened. And it happened to be connected by Leela. No, Sita Thakurani and Jaya and Vijaya. They are connected by Leela. Jaya and Vijaya become disciples of Sita Thakurani. So, I shared some thoughts. Any questions or comments? Rupeshwar Chaitanya Prabhu. Of course, most of you are already initiated, right? So you don't have to worry so too much because you're already initiated. So you don't have to. Who should I take initiation? So don't worry too much. You're already initiated. So yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you very much for your wonderful explanation. Mainly, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, "Diksha is not necessary. Diksha for Hare Krishna mantra." To chant Hare Krishna mantra, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, not necessary. How to we take now so much confusion in our society about Diksha? How to deal with this, Prabhuji? How to understand?
So, you are asking me to resolve all confusions in 15 minutes. I am flattered, Prabhu. I am very honored. You see, first of all, when the Chaitanya Charitamrita says that you don't need diksha, Srila Prabhupada gives one of the longest purpose he ever gave. Very long pages of purport explaining that actually you need initiation. You're familiar with that? To explain, you shouldn't take it literally. Second, initiation takes many forms. Narayana, or Krishna rather, initiated Lord Brahma. How he initiated him? Did he give him a japa and say, your name is Brahma, chant 16 rounds, follow the four active principles? Brahma, I can initiate you, but do you have the recommendation from the temple president? And Brahma said, sorry, there are no temples, no temple presidents. I don't have any recommendation. No. There was just two syllables. Two syllables repeated twice. That was enough. Enough for Brahma. And for us, what? Tapa? What? 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 What happened? For us, we need, you know, 22 questions, preparation, this, that, you know, chanting for 1 year, and so on. But for Brahma, that was enough. That's initiation. There are different types of initiation. For instance, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada explained, Vaidic initiation, it's not open to women and to Shudras. Women, Shudras, cannot be initiated according to Vedic, according to Veda. It's based on birth. Born a Shudra, born a woman, we cannot. Of course you can serve your master and she can get married, but you cannot get initiated. So, how come we see our ladies, or even people born as Shudras, or even lower than Shudras, Milecha Yavanas, like me. How we take initiation? Because it's a different system. It's the Pancharatrik system, given by Narada Muni. And that's accessible. Plus, even in our Sampradaya, the form of initiation changed in the last 500 years. First initiation, second initiation, even third initiation. For instance, it's described when Lord Chaitanya took initiation, he shaved up also his sika, and he also gave up the Brahmin thread. That was sannyas initiation. Now we don't follow that. Sannyasis maintain their sika, maintain their Brahmin thread. But for long time, the Vaishnavas were not even initiated with the Brahma Gayatri. They were initiated with the Gopal Mantra, the Kama Gayatri Mantras. These were mantras for Vaishnavas. Then it started, I believe it was Shamananda Pandit who introduced it in Orissa, giving the Brahmin thread. Because Vaishnavas, they didn't care about Brahmin thread. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in Bengal established and he started giving the Brahma Gayatri and the Brahmin thread. But it did not give Brahma Gayatri to women. Because I hear it kind of, it's a very masculine mantra. It's a mantra to the sun. So he thought better women don't have that. But Srila Prabhupada came to the West and he gave the seven mantras of Gayatri, including the Brahma Gayatri, to men and women. So my suggestion is that we should understand first of all, the essence of initiation. And we should understand that initiation, there is no one size fits all. We should understand the history. It takes different forms. And the acharyas, that's why they're called acharyas, because they see the circumstances and they apply the eternal principles, the same principle from tapa, to nowadays. So we follow Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada gave all the mantras of second initiation, first initiation, the Maha Mantra, to men, to women, Indian, American, Russian. He gave the mantras of the Gayatri, all the seven mantras of the Gayatri, to men, to women, to Malaysia, Yavanas, Chinese. So we follow. We trust. Plus, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru is the same level. There is no difference. There is no difference, spiritually speaking. Maybe socially speaking, we make so many differences, this and that. But spiritually, one who gives the message of Krishna, or one who gives message of Krishna and then initiates the disciple, it's not the difference. It's the form rather than the substance. Sometimes devotees they give Bhagavatam class, but they don't want to sit on the Vyasasana. Have you seen that? Sometimes I'll give the Bhagavatam class, but I won't sit in the Vyasasana. My understanding, the Vyasasana is there because you are speaking the Bhagavatam. The real thing is to speak the Bhagavatam. What you are honored by is the fact that they are asking you to speak about the Bhagavatam. Not that you are being sitting on a thing of wood with some mattress. You can go to a shop and make your own Vyasasana. What's the big deal? Buy some wood, put some mattress, you can make even a big umbrella. You can make it your own Vyasasana. So it's not the wood or the mattress or the cloth that makes the experience. If you're humble or if you feel unqualified, don't speak the Bhagavatam. If you think you're not qualified, don't speak about the Bhagavatam. If you speak about the Bhagavatam, but you sit only on a little mat, that's not the point. You have not understood the point. It's a symbol. First of all, it's also practical. See, I sit high, people can see. If I sit low, people cannot see. But it's also because it's not for me. Okay? Today I sit, tomorrow somebody else sits. It's not for me. It's for the Bhagavatam. Because we are speaking the book of Srila Vyasadeva, and so we sit from the Vyasasa. So similarly, we have devotees all over the world, senior devotees, Srila Prabhupada disciple, 35 years in the movement, 38, 40 years, 45 years in the movement, both male and female. They are going, giving class, teaching, giving shelter to devotees, explaining their philosophy, giving courses, studying, teaching. And some they accept them as Shiksha Guru. They accept them as, what do you call, shelter. So, philosophically speaking, what's the big difference between speaking, giving shelter, giving personal counseling, sharing the philosophy, in other words, giving transcendental knowledge, and give a little japa with a little name? What's the big deal? What's the big deal? It's like the point is the giving the speaking on the Bhagavatam is not the Vyasa son. That's the point. So similarly, the point is giving transcendental knowledge. The japa, giving a japa, giving a name is not such a big deal. The real thing is the transcendental knowledge. Does this answer helps in any way? Or confuses more the situation? Because that's also possible. So, somebody yesterday brought up sometimes there is the tendency to speak about equal rights. Okay? This whole concept of equal rights or rights, the whole concept of rights is not Vedic. Yesterday, Antardvit Prabhu was speaking, there are three parameters. Right? What are those? Vipra, Dharma, Achyuta. The Brahmanas, the Dharma, and Achyuta. Doesn't say Vipra, Achyuta, and your rights. The concept of rights, it's a Western concept. In Vedic culture, we talk about duties. Your Dharma, your duties. It's a different concept. Sometimes word match but don't match. Okay? So we don't think about rights actually. And frankly speaking, from the Vedic point of view, women have more rights than men. Why? Because they have the right to be protected. Right? It's a right. They have a right to be protected. It doesn't say that you have a right to be protected, right? It says the woman has the right to be protected by the father in her childhood, by the husband in her youth, and by the grown-up sons in her old age. That's a right. But right means it's somebody's duty. When you speak about right, it means it's somebody else's duty. So, they're just like you have the right to vote in India. It's a democracy. You have the right to vote. It means it's the duty of the government to arrange the elections. Right? If the government doesn't arrange the election, where are you going to vote? How you vote? You have a right, but somebody has to do his duty for you to fulfill your right. Is that clear? Right is only another face of duty. According to Vedic culture, women have more rights. For instance, a woman may not be very spiritually advanced, but if the husband is very advanced, she will follow the husband, right? So in other words, if you want to be Vedic, if you want to be traditional Varnashram, it's not that women have equal rights. Women have more rights. But not in the Western sense. But when we come to Vaishnavism, especially Gaudiya Vaishnavism, and especially Srila Prabhupada, then we are not talking really about rights. I mean, Srila Prabhupada spoke about rights. Once he said that women have equal rights. But I don't want to go there. But I don't want to elaborate. But he said. But when we come to Srila Prabhupada, we are talking about equal duties. You follow? Equal duties for the mission. Just like the other day we were discussing, Srila Prabhupada said, for a woman, child worship is more important than deity worship. At the same time, the same Srila Prabhupada also said, there are so many ladies with the children, let make a nursery, few ladies take care of the children, and other go and preach. You follow? So we are not seeing things from the, at least myself, I don't know others, but I cannot talk for others, but we are not talking about equal rights, we are talking about equal duty. Because now you are initiated. It's not a Vedic age. You say, I'm not initiated. I'm a Shudra, I'm a woman, I'm not initiated. You cannot ask me, I didn't take the vows. Now you're taking the vows. And Srila Prabhupada say, every member of the Krishna consciousness movement is interested in going door to door. So we are not talking about equal rights. We're talking about equal or similar duties. So thank you very much for your attention. We close because the time is up. All glories to the Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Sita Thakurani in her appearance day. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you.